study this morning is out of Psalm 68, verses 1 to 35, drawing from God's past provisions for praising Him today. God's record of meeting His people's needs gives hope for His present help and cause for them to praise Him. Psalm 68 addresses this theme, and we view it for our insight and our edification in the Lord. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer. We'll get into the ministry of His Word this morning. Father, thank You for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the Word of God in our own language. Thank You for the indwelling presence and empowering gifting of the Spirit of God. As we get into the Word this morning, we ask for wisdom, Father, to comprehend the truth and then to apply it in the power of God for blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we're going to read it in the King James Version, and then we'll look at it. Psalm 68, let God arise, let His enemies be scattered, let them also that hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Yah. Actually, Yah is a shortened form from Yahweh. And rejoice before Him. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in His holy habitation. God setteth the solitary, or those who are lonely, in homes. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when Thou wentest forth before Thy people, when Thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby Thou didst confirm Thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. O Thou, O God, hast prepared of Thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace. She that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though you have lain with among the pots, yet ye shall be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. We'll have to retranslate that one. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was as white as snow and salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan. And high hill is the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desires in which to dwell. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. And the Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, actually who daily bears our burden for us, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongeth the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of His enemies, and the hairy scalp of such as one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even thy goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God and the congregation, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is the little tribe Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of the spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah, to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Okay, the introductory remarks in the English Bible comprise the first verse of the Hebrew text, so we stay with the numbering system of the English Bible for clarity with this lesson, and we translate the psalm as follows. May Elohim, that's the name for God as the creator, may Elohim arise, may his enemies be scattered, may those who hate him flee from his face. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before Elohim. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before the face of Elohim. May they be happy and rejoice. Sing to Elohim, sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is Yahweh. Often they would shorten the name for God and just use the first. His name is Yah. And rejoice before his face. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is Elohim in his holy dwelling. Elohim sets the lonely ones in a home. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you went before the face of your people, O Elohim, when you marched through the wasteland, Selah. The earth shook, the heavens poured down rain from the face of Elohim, the one of Sinai, from the face of Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O Elohim. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled on it. And from your bounty, O Elohim, you provided for the poverty-stricken. Adonai gave the word, and great was the feminine company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee in haste, and the camp's men divide the plunder. Even while you, that's Israel, sleep among the saddlebags, that's when they were camping out en route to Canaan, the wings of my dove, that indicates peace, are sheathed with silver, its feathers with shining gold, that's prosperity. When the Almighty scattered the kings of the land, it was like the snow fallen on Salmon. The mountains of Bashan are majestic mountains, rugged are the mountains of Bashan. Why gaze in envy, O rugged mountains, at the mountain where Elohim chooses to reign, where Yahweh himself will dwell forever? The chariots of Elohim are tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands. Adonai has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascend on high, you led captives in your train. You received gifts from men, even from the rebellious, that you, O Yahweh, might dwell there. Praise be to Adonai, who day after day bears the burden pertaining to us, to Elohim, our Savior, Selah. That's a tremendous verse. We'll look at it in a little bit. Our Elohim is an Elohim who saves, and from Yahweh Adonai comes escape from death. Surely Elohim will crush the heads of his enemies, the hairy crowns of those who go on in their sins. Adonai says, I will bring them from Bashan, I will bring them from the depths of the sea, that you may plunge your feet in the blood of your foes, while the tongues of your dogs have their share. The procession has come into view, O Elohim, the procession of my Elohim and the king into my sanctuary, the sanctuary. In front are the singers, after them the musicians, and with them are the maidens playing tambourines. Praise Elohim in the great congregation. Praise Yahweh in the assembly of Israel. There is the little tribe of Benjamin leading them. There are the great throng of Judah's princes, and there the princes of Zebulun and Naphtali. Summon your power, O Elohim. Show us your strength, O Elohim, as you have done to us before. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring you gifts. Rebuke the beast among the reeds, that's a figurative reference to Egypt, the herd of bulls among the calves of the nations. Humbled may it bring bars of silver, scatter the nations who delight in war. Envoys will come from Egypt. Cush, that's Egypt, Ethiopia, will submit herself to God. Sing to the Elohim, O kings of the earth, sing praise to Adonai, Selah, to him who rides the ancient skies above, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of Elohim, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the skies. You are awesome, O Elohim, in your sanctuary. The Elohim of Israel, he, emphatic pronoun, gives power and abundant might to the people. Bless Elohim. Now, this psalm was likely served as a processional, possibly the moving of the ark to the city of Jerusalem. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is why you have all this high flowing language. So its extensive praise, however, can be highlighted by verse 19. Praise to Adonai, who day after day bears the burden concerning to us. Elohim, our Savior. That's such a priceless verse. I actually had a sermon prepared for years as an emergency backup in case missionaries that we had scheduled to come and minister here were unable to be with us. And I just want to go through that verse, Adonai. The word Adonai actually is the word my master. Now, Adon is the word master. I is the pronominal suffix, which means that my master. God is our master. He is our Lord, but he's our master. But notice, day after day, this is constantly, he bears the burden. Now, in a culture where there is slavery, the slave bears the burden. The master does. In fact, that's the purpose of a slave, is to bear the burdens of the master so the master doesn't have to bear them. But God, our master, bears our burden. He stoops to pick up the burden that we can't handle, we his slaves, and he bears the burdens of the slave, and he does it day after day. And the burden pertains to us, the nation Israel, all of us. I'd like to picture all of us here in a classroom this morning. We all have burdens. We all have burdens that we cannot bear. We don't have the ability to bear it. Day after day, God bears those burdens for us, and he's our master. He bears our burdens, even though we are his servants. That's an amazing thing. It demonstrates the grace of God. So, liberal theology likes to say that the Old Testament God is a God of wrath, or the New Testament God is a God of peace and grace. That's not true. The God of the Old Testament is a God who's the same God as the God of the New Testament. He's a God of great grace, unmerited favor, and he bears the burden for us. In fact, Elohim, that's our creator God, is our savior. The creator God who called into existence the entire universe that is around us and called into existence man and formed man out of the ground and so forth. He is our savior. He's the one who rescues us. Why does he save us? He saves us from sin and the effects of sin. And then there's a Selah there. That we believe was a musical term that referred to a Ripliani, or what we would call an interlude today. But it's a very important phrase. Back up at verse 5, you'll notice he's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. In the Old Testament, under the days of Moses, God said, be very careful how you treat the fatherless, the alien, these would be foreigners, and the widows, because I am their defender. This is a marvelous thing. In no other situation do you have the God of a nation who stoops to help those who are vulnerable in the nation. He normally is preoccupied in the theology of the nations around them. That the God of the nation is preoccupied with the kings, with the people, the aristocrats, those who are at the top of the heap. Israel's Old Testament God very uniquely stoops to be the God who defends the vulnerable, the widow, the orphan, the alien, the people who are sociologically vulnerable to others. So God says, be very, very careful how you treat them. So Israel was unique as a nation in that she was taught of God to be careful for the vulnerable, that you help the vulnerable. When we were flying home to the United States our last time, we were in Africa. I was 14 years of age at the time. My dad had enough money, we were able to swing by Israel, and we toured Israel. We flew actually from Kano, Nigeria, up to Egypt, and then we flew from Egypt over to Israel. And as we were flying from Egypt to Israel, there were a number of students, Israeli students on board, who had been going to Al-Azhar University, which is a university in Cairo, and they were on their way home. And as we were getting close to the land of Israel, you could see it laid out in front of you because you were high enough. They got really excited, and they could tell by our cuffs. So we were wearing cuffs on our pants. We were Americans, because the only ones who wore cuffs on were Americans. And they invited us to the man. Every one of them invited us to their homes, and they meant it. They wanted us to come into their homes. That was part of their religious beliefs. If you have visitors and you know they're not terrorists and so forth, you invite them into your home. And I was really moved by that. I'd never been around a group of people, complete strangers, who wanted us to come into their home. And this comes from the Old Testament, where God commanded the people, very careful, you treat the alien, you treat the widow, and you treat the orphan well.
because that also marked up brownie points for them with their God as part of Judaism. So that's why they were treating us that way. But they were very kind, and they were very, very proud. It was interesting, as we got close, they would point out through the window, they'd point out the various geographical features of Israel. So we were actually coming in on the Jordanian side, and then you had to cross from Jordan over to Israel in a no man's land where the soldiers were facing one another. But you could see all the way to the Mediterranean Sea as we were coming down. And there were men, a bunch of young men, they were in their 20s. They were really excited getting back home to their native land. I could see the tremendous connection between the Jewish people and their land. It's very powerful, very strong. But here, father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is Elohim. That's the Creator God in his holy dwelling. Verse 6, Elohim sets the lonely ones in a home. God is concerned about people who are lonely. That's a wonderful thing. God looks out for the needs of people. Also, you'll notice down in verse 27, in the procession, there is the little tribe of Benjamin leading them. Benjamin is a tribe from the south, and Judah is a large tribe from the south. And then Zebulun and Naphtali are two large tribes from the north. So when you're, this is what is known as a merism, or you deal with opposites to talk about the whole. In other words, if you have Benjamin, the smallest tribe, you have the large tribe from the north, large tribe from the south rather than Judah, you have the large tribe from the north and Zebulun and Naphtali, that means all Israel, the big and the little, the north, the south. The whole nation was involved apparently in this procession, and that's why we believe it's probably a procession that involves bringing of the Ark of the Covenant probably into the city of Jerusalem at that particular time. And then the verse 30, rebuke the beast among the reeds. That's often a figure for Egypt. Egypt, you have the Nile, you have the reeds, you have the rushes that grow there, and the beast among the reeds, often the beasts, they would have crocodiles or maybe hippopotamuses and so forth. Well, that was a figure for Egypt. And so that you have a picture here. There's a lot of high metonymy involved. God is the king of the sky, the thunder and lightning. Remember, this is against the backdrop in Israel of paganism. The pagans believed in the god Baal and his consort Ashtoreth, which is the female goddess, which is the consort of Baal and so forth. And he was the god of thunder and lightning and hail, the rain that came from the sky. His consort, the female goddess, was the goddess of collected pools of water on the ground. And then she would produce and so forth. Well, what the psalmists often would do is say, no, it's not Baal, it's God who's the god of the thunder. God is the god of the sky and so forth. So they're actually writing a polemic against the pagan gods. So whenever you see God who rides on the clouds and the thunder and so forth, this isn't just some figure that they picked out of the air. The writers, in the view of the context of the era in which they come, the writers are combating false pagan ideology. It's like us today promoting pure creationism. We're doing it because it's a critique on evolution, see? And that's a big, important thrust for us today. Well, that's what these people were doing in those days. Evolution wasn't the predominant idea that was around, but Baal worship was. So now we're counting Baal worship. So we have to keep all of this in mind to understand the burden here. But it's just a wonderful thing. David praised God for his constant gracious bearing of the burdens of his people, regardless of the need. And this praise sets a great example for us Christians to praise God abundantly for his great faithful help to us. And just before I turn it over to you, I have to turn to a wonderful verse. Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 6 and 7, God has raised us up together with Christ and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Why? That in the ages to come, this is throughout all eternity, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his loving kindness
toward us through Christ Jesus. You and I as Christians, as members of the church, as the body of Christ, are going to be objects that God is going to display in front of the angels, in front of the other peoples. And he's going to demonstrate how gracious he has been to all these other groups of people, all the angels and everything, because of the way he has poured out his grace on the church, which is composed of both Jews and Gentiles, but people who have believed in Jesus Christ. And we are going to be trophies of his grace. That's an amazing thing. And of course, we're going to recognize this, we're going to appreciate it. We, at this point, cannot begin to wrap our minds around the tremendous cost that it has been to God to pour out his grace upon us just so that we can function like we are, and so that God can, in the discipling process, bring us from where we came when we were unsaved to where we are now, to what he is going to be doing with us in our future as Christians. It's just amazing. In fact, the Bible, in one passage in 1 Peter, says the angels are craning their necks. It's a word that is used to describe people who are down in the orchestra pit in a play, and they're craning their necks to look over the top of the stage so that they can see this play that is being performed out in front of them. The angels are actually craning their necks in absolute awe at what God is doing in your life and in my life, because they know us. They know our weakness. They know where we've come from. And what God is accomplishing is absolutely stunning to them. So we need to praise God for his grace, his unmerited favor to us in Jesus Christ. Okay, we'll open it up for questions, feedback you have. It could be on this song.